Hello. Welcome. This is an AI simulation. This was created by a computer. Just kidding. I can't even hold myself straight. Welcome back, beautiful people of Community Christian Church.
What up?
I should get the voice of GLaDOS to say that.
No, you should get Siri's voice.
Oh, gosh.
Hello.
Yeah, we're actually not even here.
Yeah, right?
Created by a computer.
What you've been watching.
Anyways,
every
back to
Tuesday
the end times.
Thursday, real.
I don't know. You can ask Siri to tell you a funny, and she will.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are actually really funny.
Some dad jokes.
I ask her what I want to dress up for. What should I dress up for Halloween? She tells me I should dress up as Chapstick and tell everybody I'm the bomb.
Don't go into an airport and do that.
All right, so back to the Bible study.
That one's pretty
funny. Hi, Mary. Hi, Mary. Hi, Jocelyn.
Oh, yeah, we have a sunrise service at 6 a.m., so be there. Otherwise, it'll be very dark without you guys.
And we have not
we need
once,
you guys' lights. You know
we
mean?
Have not once advertised an Easter egg hunt, so you might want to put that out.
Oh, there's an Easter egg hunt?
Oh,
awesome,
I had to
let's
come put
this
up a sign yesterday, so.
Okay, cool. Easter egg hunt. Bring your kids. They're going to hunt for Easter eggs. Hopefully there's candy in them. Maybe
no,
money.
Hopefully.
Thank you, Jake.
I hope there's candy in them.
Oh, wait.
If there's a $20 bill, I'm going to be out there searching for them.
But he can't bend over to grab it, so I'm going to find one. He's going to steal it.
We'll give him a trash speaker to walk with.
He's going to get a magnet on the end of it.
Wait, what's in the candies? It's magnetized.
Uh-oh.
Nothing. Just American products.
Mary Jane says hi, everyone.
What is up, Mary? Did you get the simulation? Did you really think this was a simulation or no? I'm just curious.
Did you get the access code today?
So yeah, there's Easter egg hunt. I don't know when. When is it?
Sometime on Sunday.
Ask your wife. She's the one that called us to put the sign up.
Oh, that's right.
Do you
want
to go
busy.
Ask her?
No, she's fine. She'll put it in the comments if she's listening.
At the 9 o'clock service.
So it's probably sometime in between or after.
No, it says 9 a.m.
It's 9.
Oh, the Easter egg?
Uh-huh.
Oh, they're going to do it right in
church?
Service?
Church?
That's
cool.
What it says. That's what it says.
Cool.
Well, it's supposed to be
where does it say?
Oh, we're playing worship. They'll be having an Easter egg hunt. What I hear.
Do we get one after?
Bring your own Easter egg. Get an adult one too.
BYOE.
Win.
BYOE.
Bring your own Easter. We need eggs.
Bring your own eggs.
We can find a big Easter fancy guy.
That one didn't get to him.
So that we showed up.
He got it.
He just wants some.
By the way, I love black jelly beans.
Oh, me too, dude.
Jelly
beans are so bomb.
And I hate black licorice.
Oh, really? It's the same
yes.
taste.
No, they're not.
No.
No, they
tastes the same to me. Very bitter.
What? Like,
the bitter. Jelly beans are coated with sugar.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. Because they have the sugar out
there. I like the jelly bellies.
If you actually get real with
those are my favorite.
Really
oh. Like, not the...
No, jelly beans or the Jolly Rancher jelly beans.
If you actually,
these
churches
around here
like
walk by, they get a square and in the mail.
Allie says egg hunt is during the 9 a.m. service.
Hello, brothers and sisters. We are having so much.
She's paying attention.
We are on the way to have some fun. That's Orlando.
Orlando's on his way.
Nice.
All right, so.
Finally getting him here, huh?
You got it wrong. It says, we are
I'm sorry, I can't read all
we are on. You guys are having way too much fun.
Oh,
you didn't say on our way.
They're watching it online.
Hi, Jackie O.
Just kidding. We got super excited, and now we got let down because Orlando's not coming, so you know.
Here, I'll just text him. Come anyway.
Come anyway.
He said, you guys are having way too much fun.
Oh, I thought we were going through announcements.
Orlando.
Well, that's the point of being a Bible study. You're sitting there having a fellowship and studying the Bible, so that's part of it.
Yeah. Back to I think that's it on the announcements, yes? Hot luck. In between the services, 6
wasn't there something about like a women's study on some dates?
Let me check that. I have notes.
The 27th, I believe,
and I think the 13th or somewhere.
Oh,
no,
maybe
the
that's
13th
why my
is canceled.
13th, yeah.
April 20th,
you missed the meeting.
I think she sent me all the dates.
April
27th.
Men's and men's and women's.
She did share it with
me. It's a men's and women's breakfast.
The 27th? Okay.
Yeah. She loves me not.
April 20th does it work too?
April 27th is men's and women's. All right. Can we say that already?
Yes.
Okay. Mother's Day tea, May 4th.
May the 4th be with you all.
Oh,
Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Rolando, I'll give you grace on this one.
And just to give you guys a heads up, I think they're going to start fundraising for the Children's Ministry a little bit more.
Okay.
They're starting
because
VBS
is going to be here in July. So, July 15th through the 20th.
Oh, I'm going to be leaving.
Here you go. See ya.
Bye. Right, well, and Jordan.
You're
going to
miss out on all the fun.
Oh, I am?
We're going to Arkansas.
Oh. It'll be real fun without you
guys. I thought it was going to be the week before, or right the week before then.
As long as I'm here for surf camp, we're good.
I thought I heard a dog fight. Oh, in this neighborhood, it always
sounds. Oh, and just to let you know, Jacob and I are working in the mix right now. We're going to bring out summer movie nights. So we're going to try and do movies. So if you guys got Christian movies and you guys want to see them on a movie night, just let us know. We'll put it on the list.
No, but when do we get our encore?
The Shack.
From Sunday Singing.
The Shack.
Oh, an encore? Oh, you'll get one on Sunday.
There's a lot of questionable stuff.
God willing, yeah. God willing.
I watched and I made everybody that was sick miss it. So you need to go on for a reason. I don't care if you have to fast forward it to this point and go back. Fast forward it.
It's a good movie.
Because you need to listen. Everybody's like, is that? And I'm like, I think it is. I mean, still, everybody's like, when do we get the encore?
I don't even care if it's the same song.
You need to.
Hey, that was just the Lord. That wasn't me. You know what I mean?
Amen. But we need more of that.
I'm sure we'll get more of it. Don't worry.
That was awesome.
We're going to put that in the playlist.
Along with another song that I can't wait for.
Hopefully, that one's going to be real fun.
Just know, Jacob, that was very blessed.
The one I haven't even played yet.
Hey, that was just the Lord, you know?
On mine is something.
I haven't even heard it.
Thank you, Jacob.
So.
It was.
With that being said, let us pray in, yes?
Amen.
Are we all in one accord?
Let's see. I'm halfway there.
We're not in Discord, at least.
All right, that's good. That's good. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for all the blessings that you pour down on us, Lord. We thank you for them, and we're glad that you're our God, Lord. You are super amazing. Lord, bless this study that we're about to enjoy. Help us keep our eyes and our hearts and our minds on it while we're in here so you can teach us, Lord. Forgive us for our sins. Help us apply these things not only at church, Lord, but help us take it home and live it in our households so that we can take it out and live it in the world, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hi, Paul, you want to lead us in 13:13?
Sure.
That's why he was looking around. He's like, who am I going to choose?
These three things remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love.
Amen.
Maybe I should turn to it and read
it. It's kind of cool that we kind of memorize it now, you know?
That's how you memorize.
Means we'll always remember it, right? Yeah.
I think one of our first episodes on our personal podcast, we should do a thing about coppers.
Oh, that'd be cool.
we're
like the whole chapter.
We're going there to remind ourselves of looking for these qualities in the scripture, searching the scripture or being mindful of these things while we're reading, because you can find these characters in there, because that's the character of Christ, and we are to take that character on.
Amen.
It's more bomb every time.
Yeah.
The more time you spend,
the whole gospel in like a paragraph, you know. All right, so where are we at, guys?
16.
Mark 13:16.
Mm-hmm. 13:16. Ooh.
That no one in the field.
It kind of goes with it.
It kind of goes with 15.
15, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's just start at 15, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we're jumping in the middle of this. So who hasn't been here since we started chapter 13? So we have. So let's start. Let's read the whole thing from the beginning to the end, and then we'll go jump back to.
Are we starting again?
No, we're just reading the whole thing over.
13?
Yeah.
13 okay. Over. See, there you go. Listen, he's going to read the whole thing for you.
See.
And then, if you have any questions, and if you want to bring them up, please bring them up. It'd be awesome. I love questions. I think we should start asking questions on Sunday service. You know, that'd be kind of cool.
Kyle's.
All right, so here, we're going to read through the whole chapter real quick. It says, as Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginnings of birth pains. You must be on your guard, and you will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time. For it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Ooh. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down or enter the house to take anything out. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that this will not take place in winter, because those will be days of distress unequaled from the beginning. When God created the world until now, and never to be equaled again, if the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, whom he has chosen, he has shortened them. At that time, if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Messiah," or "Look, there he is," do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, or no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch. Pretty cool, huh? Mm-hmm. Any questions? No questions? Cool. So let questions, us go comments, concerns. Back to 15. Here we go. It says, let no one on the housetop go down or enter the house to take anything out. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. You guys looking at me or what?
No, I'm just...
What do you guys think of that?
It's pretty amazing.
We were just talking about it last time, how it's... we're supposed to get out of the way, basically, and just let it happen, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's like everything in the Bible. There's a physical thing to it, and there's also a spiritual side to it. The physical, they're talking about the abomination that causes desolation. And when you see it run, because all hell's breaking loose, basically, mm-hmm. in Jerusalem, people are going to be slaughtered at that time. And but I firmly believe we're not going to be here for that. But in that... the spiritual side of it, you see these things start to happen. Don't jump into it. Run mm-hmm. away from it. You don't need to be part of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, the world's going to try and suck you into stuff right away. It's like you know, if you stop drinking, you're not going to go hang around the bars, right?
Nope.
You're going to run away from them. Exactly. You're going to run away from those opportunities, especially if you're struggling with it. Mm-hmm. And so... you know, a believer that's fighting for this or that in their walk needs to stay away from that stuff, especially the stuff that you're tempted by. You know, you're not strong enough. You know, and so spiritually, yeah, there comes a time when we're stronger and we're able to, at a party, talk to people. But if you can't do it without indulging, and you're trying not to indulge, you best to stay away. Yeah. Even anger issues, you know, and stuff, you know, we can be a calming factor for people, but if you're still struggling with it, you're best to walk away instead of, you know, because you know yourself, and you're going to get caught up in it.
I've been being addicted to shopping. You don't want to go shopping. If you're going to be addicted to shopping, don't go shopping, you know? Don't go buy clothes. Don't give yourself the opportunity.
I must have money. I still have checks left.
Yeah.
Well, that's the old adage. No one knows what a checkbook is anymore.
I have to look. I have to look up how to fill a check out every time someone tells me to fill a check out.
I don't blame you.
I know what a check is.
I was like, oh, that's how you do that? Every single time, I forget.
He's like, oh, I forgot about that
one. I used to keep our register to the penny. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it must have been rough back then, huh?
Yeah.
It's too easy now.
But you know what? You know what? It actually, if you want to get techno, it's actually a lot better, because when the whole computer shuts down, mm-hmm. you can't sell nothing. When you did it that way, you could still sell stuff. You know what I mean? You can you can still make money. You know, today everything's all computerized, and if one system goes down, I mean, you can't even run a credit card.
Right.
And everything's credit card wise, you know?
And the point of it is like if you run something as debit, it shows up almost instantly.
Yes.
But if you run it from credit, sometimes it doesn't
show up
for
2 weeks.
Or two.
Yeah.
Or electronic transfer. And that's what the register is about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you keep tabs, you know what's out there, and
you know
check
what's
it
in
out
your register,
once it's
yeah.
fun.
You know what you made, you know what you didn't make, mm-hmm. you know if your register was short, you know if somebody's stealing from you because you're counting your register, you know what I mean? Everything's computerized, you just type everything in and whatever it runs, and at the end of the day, you just hit end of shift and it matches, you're good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now they don't really, it's like they really don't have to work for it to find out what it is.
We got a little off base.
Sorry, I did.
But no, But yeah, it's just, you see these things coming in this world. I also wanted to say, like, Jesus has given us signs, right? And it's not for us to predict when this is going to happen. I was just telling Jordan today, any time, what was it? You can know when it's not going to happen is when someone says it's going to happen April 8th. Mm-hmm. You know, because people predict from all this stuff. Now the latest is the eclipse. You know, we had the blood moons, three consecutive blood moons on Jewish festivals, and you know, Y2K. If you're old enough to remember that,
but I wasn't born yet.
I mean, over and over, the end of the Aztec calendar ran out.
Oh, yeah, 2012?
Yeah, and it was, the world was supposed to end then. I mean, you know what? There's all kinds of stuff out there, and a person could go nuts, you know, falling into all that. But it's not why he tells us all this. He tells us all this. That when you see things start to happen, you know you're running out of time and you need to get busy. You need to get busy, and we should be busy all the time. But they're in your face reminders of, mm-hmm. Hey, you see the leaves start to turn, you know winter's coming, you better get ready for it. Same here. We got people in our lives that need to know who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. And that's the bottom line. Mm-hmm.
I like the joke that I like to say every time I hear someone try to say, "Oh, the rapture's happening on this day." I'm like, I know when it's not happening.
Yeah, that's yeah, that's what I was getting at. Cause he said it. We read it towards the end. I guess I'm doing spoilers, but no one knows the day or the hour.
Mm-hmm. Didn't talk about the year or the month though.
Is there a deeper meaning to 16 and how he says that they might not go back to pick up his garment? Like,
oh, to let no one go back to. So it's like,
I mean, you can go.
There's no reason to go back. Like, because what's going to happen is trouble's going to happen. You're going to be like, oh, my phone. I need to go get my phone. But, like, when that time comes, like, don't even go back for your phone. You know, it's kind of the same thing. It's just like, just get out of Dodge.
Right. Mm-hmm. The deeper meaning is the same as like Lot's wife.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Don't long and look back to that old life. Get away from it. You know, we get so easy, you know, I'm just talking about that, like the smells or the sounds of things, and it brings back memories, and you start to reminisce, and it's like, no, wait a minute. Turn away. Don't look back.
Yeah, like when you play old Zelda.
Because those weren't, those, you know, although they're memories, and some of them we might have called them good, but look what they brought. Look what we were into. It's not, it was dragging us down. It was dragging us into death. You know?
So is garment more like what we used to wear then?
Hmm?
What we used to wear?
Well, it's just don't go back for, yeah, the old life. Don't put on the old life again. We've been raised anew. Washed and made clean.
We also know, like in the Corinthians, where we read faith, hope, and love is the only things that will abide. That means this, at the end of the world, there's only things that are left from us, you know, the things that we get to take is our faith, the hope of a new heaven and a new earth, and the works that we did, the love, the charity, everything, those are going up.
Yeah.
And everything else is going to get burned by fire. That's why he says, when this is happening, there's nothing in this world that you have is any valuable that's going to help you. You know?
Yeah.
Yes,
it's the end of the
exactly.
world. It's the end.
Yeah.
The world's going to burn with fire. God says he's going to destroy it again and make it brand new. Mm-hmm. So that's the hope that we have. It's mm-hmm. not here. It's not anything here mm-hmm. or anything
and you see, you see a lot of people trying to buy their way into heaven. Mm-hmm. Look, you know, I got a lot of money, and so I'm just going to give and donate, you know, and that's going to tip the scales, and it's not like that.
No, it's you know? Not.
It's like Simon the magician or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Simon
yeah.
the sorcerer.
Oh, the sorcerer, yeah.
Sorcerer, yeah.
Same thing, right?
What can I pay you? What can
magician,
I pay you
sorcerer,
for this
whatever.
Spirit?
How much can I have for that spirit?
So yeah, your heart's got to be about for God and not for our own personal.
Yes.
You know, oh, I'm doing this so I can get more crowns when I get up there. It ain't like that. It ain't about that. Because you know what? When you get up there, you ain't even going to want that crown. You're going to lay it at his feet. You're going to feel, you know, like I look at that song, I Can Only Imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Will I stand be in your presence or to my knees will I fall? Why be able to say anything at all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we're just gonna be so wow. I'm so unworthy. You know, like was it Elijah or when Isaiah when he fell to his knees and said, "Woe is me." You know?
I'm a dead man.
Yeah.
What I always loved about that one was it said the angel took the coal with tongs. So even the angel wasn't even touching the coal, but he brought it and touched Isaiah with the coal.
Hi, Roger. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Roger. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, y'all.
Just the lyrics to that song, I Can Only Imagine. I can only imagine what it'll be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. Then surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? Is it? I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you.
I think that's going to be an initial thing, but after a moment, it'll all be washed away. So we're going to be accustomed to it. We're going to spend an eternity. But I think we're still going to be in awe of him.
So you might as well start loving people who are in Christ now, because you're going to have an eternity with them then.
Learn how to live with them now, because you're going to be with them.
That was a good one.
Yeah. I can't take credit for it as much as I would love to. I've heard it multiple times.
I'll take repeats anytime.
All right, so verse 17. So we're on. What do we have more on? 16.
Mark chapter 13.
It says, "How dreadful will it be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers." Should we go all the way to 19?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Stay together. "Pray that this will not take place in winter, because those days will be of distress unequal from the beginning when God created the world until now and never to be equaled again." Dang.
You think it's hard now? It's going to be a lot worse then.
Crazy hustling. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's basically, it's going to be hard enough. Pray that it's not in winter, because it's going to be hard. And, you know.
Yeah, I think it's definitely trying to show, like, how they mentioned the pregnant women is, like, in the moment of pregnant women and nursing, you have to like sit down and have cover. Mm-hmm. You can't just be out in the open. It's not like it's a fragile thing that needs like a partner
right.
to help them through it. It's not like everyday stuff.
Right.
You know, so I think it's to show like the significance of it, that it'll be hard.
Mm-hmm. And before those times, it's called like birth pains, you know, like pre-labor, false labor pains, you know, the things we see is just the beginning of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And then I like the pray. Oh, do we read 20 also? Yeah.
No, just the 19.
Read it. We can read it though if you else got anything on 16 to 18.
Well, 20 kind of goes with it, too.
Okay.
Because it's talking about those days, and pray that it be cut short. And then it says, if the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would survive. Mm-hmm. But for the sake of the elect whom he has chosen, he has shortened them. You know, it's going to be really bad. God's mercy, those days are cut short. You know, it's like he's saying, it's so bad that none of us would stand up to it. We would all fall. We would all cave in, you know. And it's in God's mercy. But again, I believe that's something we're only going to be viewing. We're going to be spectators, not in it. If we get to see it, we're not going to be here. Because, and the promise is like in Thessalonians, because these things aren't going to unleash or unravel until the one withholding it, withholding the Antichrist, that spirit, the one withholding it gets taken out of the earth. And that's believed to be the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives in us. He's not going to take his spirit from us, so we go with him.
So if you were saying that you believe that we're not going to be here for the tribulation, then what is he talking about? Because if the Lord had not cut short the days, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect whom he chose, he shortened the days.
Because there are
is he talking about his actual people, like Israelites?
Yeah, there's 122,000 Jewish.
Yeah, and in between the 6th and the 7th scroll, there's like a great revival.
Mm-hmm.
144,000, by the way.
Yeah, 144,000.
Okay,
12,000
for
each tribe.
Okay, so he's talking either about the Israelites or the people who become saved.
During
the tribulation.
Because it's going to be very hard for people to be saved.
Yeah, because remember, there's an angel there's like two angels that fly back and forth across the world.
Whoa.
And just telling people to change, you know. Mm-hmm. And there'll still be people that are like, no, I ain't changing. I'm gonna do my own thing. I'm gonna get to this on my own.
But there's still gonna be people. No, I ain't taking
like
no more.
You try.
And they're gonna give their lives for it. There's gonna be a lot of people martyred during this time, you know, because they're not gonna give into it. But they haven't accepted Jesus. That's why they're still here.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you know, it and the Bible talks about God sends a powerful delusion, so they believe the lie. You know, because you had your chance. But there are going to be people come out of the tribulation. They were told that.
If you think it's hard now.
But yeah, it ain't going to be easy. It's going to, more than likely, during the tribulation, it will cost you your life.
You can imagine, the worst thing that's ever happened in this world, like all the tragedies, they're not compared to what's going to happen.
Right.
Like you said, the world's never seen this and we'll never see it again.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
this is a time where the world, through the Holocaust, through the World Wars, all of it is nothing to compare.
Yeah. And I think like the fall of civilizations is like if you look back in history on every time where, because the way I see history is that God gave people a certain authority over, like when like great empires, they had an authority over the time, but eventually the people went to their own ways and it would be taken, just like how the Jews had it too, you know. And if you look at the end of like civilization, it's like little like
remnants.
It's like little like foresee into the future of when it's going to be the whole world at once, you know. Those are just on smaller scales. Now it's like it's a bigger scale thing, you know. Like when you look at like the end of the Roman Empire, like
the ancient Roman rule,
or the end of that Babylonian,
or
the Egypts, you know. Like when you look at that stuff, and you're like, wow, that must have been a crazy time to live in. You know, it's going to be even a crazier time to live in when Christ comes back.
Because the first time the earth was destroyed by flood, the second time by fire. It says, you know, it says the sun will not give her light, and the sun and moon will not give their light, and the stars will fall from the sky. You know, there's going to be plagues and famine and pestilence.
Yeah, and think of like what happened in Egypt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the plagues. Those plagues are nothing.
don't they say something about like the plagues and the bugs and the wars and all that stuff are going to become 10 times
and,
worse?
And there's a period where people for about 6 months are going to be praying for death because it's so bad.
Bad, yeah.
They have sores and they're in pain and agony,
yeah.
And they're just begging for death. But that's what I believe saved is, saved from that wrath.
Yes.
But there's more to it. It's Lord and Savior. They go hand in hand. They go together.
Mm-hmm.
You call Him Lord and make Him Lord over your life. You know. Mm-hmm. And it's not like surrendering to do this. It's like a relation, a late relationship. It's like, hey man, I got you. No.
Yeah.
Hey man.
I always think of every time he says that. I always think of a hippie. Hey man.
Hey fellow bro hair. Long hairs gotta stick together. Just kidding. All right,
verse 21. It says, at that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or look, there he is, do not believe it.
Yep. There's going to be a lot more temptations in life for the devil's going to try to get us to worship him and not God, you know? And so it's going to make it out to where they're going to portray that person's God and not really, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And people are going to fall for it and they're not, you know, so he's warning you ahead of time not to fall for it, to stay away from it, you know?
Right. Well, I think it also goes in with the next verse too, which is 22.
Well, that's what I was going to say, 22
yeah.
Verse with 21.
You should probably go all the way to 23, the end of 23.
Yeah, let me restart at 21 and then go down. It says, at that time, anyone who says to you, look, here is Christ, or look, there he is, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and miracles to deceive the elect,
mm-hmm.
if that were possible.
Mm-hmm.
So be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time. You know, looking at this, it's, you see Jesus healing the sick and
mm-hmm.
healing the paralyzed and healing the blind and performing these miracles, and
mm-hmm.
that's what he's talking about. These people are going to be doing these things to fool everybody,
mm-hmm.
because that's something we see as like the Lord did that,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
if you're in the Lord, you can do that. Well, the enemy has ruling over this area too,
mm-hmm.
and so the enemy is going to be trying to do everything in his power to fool everybody,
mm-hmm.
and that's what's going to be coming. Is even people will say, "Oh, I'm Christ," and coming and performing signs and wonders and things that are going to make you think, no, I am not saying I'm Christ.
No, I just can't see you. So
oh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was like, no, I'm not saying I'm Christ.
You never have. I don't make anybody move on.
The spiritual side of that is nobody's got to tell you where he is,
because
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm.
you will know.
You will know.
You'll know in your relationship with him. You'll
yeah.
know.
Yeah, the spiritual side of it is like, it's all the people who think they have like a certain, you know, like they know something more than like what the Bible actually says.
So that's what I was asking last time between the for many will come in my name saying I am he, and then this one says like don't, or look, there he is. Like the difference that I feel is like the I am he is like somebody who's using the name the wrong way,
right?
You
yeah.
know,
yeah.
You know, and
I agree with you.
This
one, yeah,
coming
and
out
then
insane.
And then the other one is just like trying to trick people and saying
right.
like, oh, have you seen this person doing
right.
these things or whatever? Like
yeah.
that's who they say they are,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Or they think the Bible actually says this instead
yeah.
of this,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Like I said a couple studies ago. Look it up on the internet. There are false Christs everywhere now.
Yep.
And it's just, and they have huge followings,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so many churches. There's, like I said, one guy claiming that he's the Antichrist. And,
oh wow!
You know, but it doesn't mean what everyone thinks. It means like instead of Christ, not anti.
No, anti means to be against. So if he's claiming to be the Antichrist, it means he's against Christ.
But know that he's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. You're not gonna. He's not gonna come out and say, "Hey, look, I'm the devil." Mm-hmm. You know, and you're not gonna know him. You're not gonna know him right by this. You're gonna know him by this, by this Holy Spirit within us. And it's like he says, "My sheep know my voice." You know, if you're spending time with Christ, you're gonna know.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna know.
I like what Orlando just texted us. Says, "Christ already came." Oh, dang it! Christ already came and performed all those miracles. So when he comes back, miracles are not what he's coming for.
Mm-hmm.
And so I completely agree with that. And something else I love is he always says, "My sheep know my voice," right?
Mm-hmm.
And I always think of it because I posed a question to my group back at Young Adults yesterday. And I asked them, I said, have you guys all been in love before? Like, whether it's with your parents, right? Because I know you're a little young to fall in love with a girl. But everyone here has been in love at one point or another. And so the first thing I said was, if you're falling in love with someone, you want to be with that person every moment of every day. Like, and you want to talk about that person all the time and be with them and spend every waking moment with this person. And then I flipped it. Isn't that what we would want to do with Jesus?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If we're saying we're in love with Jesus, why aren't we wanting to spend every waking moment with him?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in love with someone, you can close your eyes and not like have multiple people in front of you, and you can call out where that person is by the voice, by the touch, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's exactly how it is when you're with Christ. When you're with Christ,
so
when he speaks, you know exactly who it is because you know the voice.
So when those false prophets or those false actions happen in our lives, we're going to know that that person is false and not correct.
Exactly.
Because we're going to know the real Jesus, you know, the real...
Yeah. Exactly. And the way you know his voice is spending time in the Word.
Exactly.
Just like when
first,
you know...
1 John 4 talks about what you're talking about.
Yeah, 1 John 4. Read that. Oh, you know what?
And
instead
know,
of read that, we're going
to
read it.
That's one thing that drove me to understand and spend more time in the Bible is because I didn't want to be deceived. You know, so in that, this is the way not to be deceived. You're going to know Christ. You're going to know his character. You're going to know how he operates. You're going to know his voice. And you get in tune with the Spirit the more time you spend. In
chapter 4 of 1 John, verse 1. We're going to be at right now. And it's always good to know these things too. There's other places in the Bible that I know of that says to test things. But there's only one thing he always says to test is the spirits. And the reason being is we're not meant to make judgments on people. We're not meant to make judgments on those things. We're meant to judge the spirit of those things. Meaning, if you're having a conversation with someone and they're speaking words, but it sounds a little bit off, test it with the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Always bring it back to the Word, because that's the Word is what you know of being right.
Yeah.
And if what they're saying at all does not align with what God says, then you know you've tested it and it's not lining up. But is everyone there?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, she's almost there.
Yeah.
It's always
it
the
says. Well, she has an excuse. She's watching the baby.
It's a good one.
Yes.
But
sorry.
It says on.
No, I was in the wrong John's actually.
Yeah, I completely
that's where
understand.
That's
yeah,
where that
1 John.
Yeah.
It says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits you see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus Christ is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. What you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You dear children are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we can recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood.
It's not on the topic, but I just thought it would be funny to say, okay, let's go to the book Creepy John. Let's go to the book Creepy John the First. Let's go to the book Creepy John the Second.
You know, you
messed
can,
up.
You can,
it's funny.
You can use this too, because you're going to run across people that claim to know God and claim,
mm-hmm.
But you know what? When you start talking to them and you find out that they don't know Jesus, it's not to look bad on them. It's like, okay, you recognize that there's still something missing,
mm-hmm.
You know, and in love you can share with them. You don't try and correct. You can to a point, but it's got to be done in love. You can't, because if you tell someone they're wrong, you just put up a wall.
Yeah.
But in love, you can show them. Well, you know what? I found Christ. The Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except by Him. You know, things like that. It's got to be done in love. Because if it's not done in love, you're only gonna harden hearts and turn people away.
I have a really interesting story to share. That's in similarities to what you're talking about.
Okay.
When I was in rehab, I was having a very bad time, and there was somebody that told me a story about, you know, what, you know, poor me, woe is me,
uh-huh.
You know, and then, you know, a story about God, and I shared. I was working at a gas station. I was the assistant manager there, and some lady came in, and she was like, "Man, I hate my life. I just hate my life." And I was like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "You shouldn't hate your life." And I told her the same exact story. And after I got done, she was like, "Wow." She was like, "You just made me think totally different of what I was feeling when I first came in here. And there's a reason why I came in here. I guess it was to meet you." You know, so it was kind of funny. It was kind of funny, but I shared that story with her, and it totally changed her outlook on, you know, because, you know, you meet people in your lives for a reason, you know, and maybe that was the reason she came into my store, was for me to share that with her, you know. I don't know. It was just pretty interesting.
I think of it like this, because God ordains moments.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I was gonna
all
say.
The time.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because, for instance, last night, right, I was driving. And I was supposed to be at the Young Adults at 6:15.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get there until 6:45.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I got to the gas station, there was someone who had just got their tire slashed.
Oh.
And they're not even from around the area.
Yeah, and that's
they're
where
from
I'm getting
San Diego.
At.
And they're going over to Lake Tahoe to go skiing and snowboarding.
Oh, wow.
So I just sat with them because I'm like, this really sucks. Like, no one wants to get their tire slashed, let alone have to go and find a tire place at, like, when everything's closing. And so I sat with them, and the first time I drove away after trying to help them and didn't know exactly a tire place that was going to be open long enough for them to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Then I called up Dad. He tells me a tire place that's going to be open until 7. I literally flipped a U-turn.
Oh, nice.
Drove back and told them, and instantly they're calling him up, and the people say, yeah, we more than likely have a tire for your car. Because everywhere else was telling them, no. And the first thing I did before any of this was I prayed with them.
Yeah, exactly.
And what I'm saying is I was meant to be there and meant to be late for Young Adults.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Because those people were more important than the situation I was going to.
Mm-hmm.
And if I hadn't have done that, then when I went there, I wouldn't have been in the right spirit, because I wouldn't have been doing what God called me to do.
Crazy he didn't say, too. A guy came up and asked him for a ride. And when they said no, he's the one that slashed their tire.
Yeah. So also so be just, careful about that.
Yeah.
If yes. someone asks you for a ride at a gas station, be careful.
I'm like, are you kidding?
Because that's exactly what happened. Was they were sitting in their car waiting for the gas to finish filling up their car, and next thing you know is they hear the air letting out of their tire, and the guy slashed their tire.
I would say, could you hold on for just a second? I gotta go in. I really gotta go to the bathroom. Hold on for 1 second, and then I would have went inside and called the cops or something. You know what I mean? But you know. It's that's kind of a weird situation.
The decay of the world.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you see stuff like that all the time. It's not unheard of anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it's insane. It's like, you know, it's like, for instance, me coming back here, you know, in old neighborhoods I used to live in. Oh. You know what I mean? And I go back and I look in the neighborhoods and I'm like, man, I remember when I lived here, I could leave my door unlocked. You know what I mean? We could leave it. We could go and leave our cars running. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's the same way in Missouri. We could go into the store, leave our car running and come out, back out, and our car's still there. You know what I mean? Out here, don't you dare. Don't you even attempt to, you know, leave your car running. You know, it's just certain areas and it's like the world's just come to such...
Such evil has come
to a lot of people, and a lot of them are, it seems like a lot of them has come to like greed, like me, and not, you know, let's see what we could do to help that next person, or, you know, like for instance, like if something happens to somebody and they're walking down the street, do people stop and ask them if they need help anymore?
Yeah.
No.
It's come to the time of that, parable of the Good Samaritan.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like nobody stops and asks if you need help, or nobody stops, you know, and it's like, why? I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I don't get it.
We're called to be those people. We gotta use caution. We gotta keep our eyes open. But you know, it's like Peter said, bold and arrogant are these men. They carouse in the daylight. The things people used to keep hidden, now they're just bold and they jump it out. And, yeah, mm-hmm. I remember growing up, there was a time when you heard people cuss, people would gasp. Mm-hmm. You know, now.
It's practically on network TV.
it's just crazy.
There was never such a time like that.
Yeah.
Do you see this world? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, there was.
I know there was.
TV was very censored. You didn't see a lot of stuff. Now it's on commercials even. It's just crazy.
So, for what you said, you believe that we wouldn't be here for the worst of the worst, but mm-hmm. how bad is it supposed to get?
Well,
it's supposed to get to where being a Christian, it says it, that we're going to be brought before governors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Being a Christian, you're going to be arrested for.
Yeah.
That's in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and that's what it's going to be coming down to, where it's all over the world.
Yeah.
Being a Christian is going to be getting arrested for.
In Luke, it says all nations will come against you in my name.
So, if you want to be a Christian, and it comes to the end of, like, closer to the end of the age, then you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be, like, persecution now is like, oh, woe is me type of feeling, like you were talking about.
Yeah.
Because it's nothing compared to what's supposed to be coming or has already come, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the time of Rome is where it's really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Bible says, there'll be wars and rumors of wars.
What chapter and verse is that in Luke?
That would be Luke 22, I think it is, or 21.
It's kind of the same.
Yeah, it's practically the same thing, just a little more
wordy.
Each gospel has a little bit
different...
aspect,
and then also, I think in
Matthew 24 is the really wordy one.
And this is
it's Luke 21.
And this is the synopsis of the whole book of Revelation. So if you start reading the book of Revelation, one thing I've noted in Revelation is like John experiences or gets a vision of the rapture in Revelation 4:1. And so everything after that, the church isn't here for. That's what I see in it. I mean, you know, he heard a voice like a trumpet saying, come up here. You know, that's where I believe the rapture took place in Revelation. And then you see the seals get broken open and all the stuff come out. And, you know, it's crazy. But like I said, it's not something to fear. You know, Jesus says, don't be afraid.
Fear I always not, love what you say. Know,
so we got
end of Daniel leads into Revelation.
Yeah, because John gets up into that vision,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, he's in this room describing everything, and
yeah.
then this, he sees the scroll, and he's like, no one can open the scroll. Who's going to open the scroll? And he's like, mm-hmm. he's weeping. You know, and then the elder comes over to him. Don't you know? You know who it is. You know, and then a man who looks like he was slain,
mm-hmm.
coming out like a lion or whatever.
Oh,
a lamb that was slain.
Yeah.
It's so descriptive. I think we're actually do Revelation after this, because I've always wanted to do Revelation at this church to see like how everyone stands in it. Because I'm not nowhere. I have no idea what it really is. I just take it as what it says.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's a lot of symbolism.
Yeah,
because think about it, like John seeing things that didn't exist in his time, you know, and so how do you describe it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the symbolism is like an eternal picture, you know.
Mm-hmm. But like the way it's
timeless,
like, the way how like Revelation is descriptive, especially like early when. When the scrolls open and all that kind of
mm-hmm.
stuff, it's like I feel like it's epic. Like you can't just read it and like
yeah right,
oh, like, you know. And then this happened. No, it's like, and then this happened. You know, like that's how I feel like when I'm reading the Book of Revelation.
One of the things in there too is like it says, "The new heaven and new earth came down before the old ways." Passed.
Mm-hmm.
The old heaven and the old earth have passed. They couldn't stand before him, you know, and so it's going to be destroyed.
Yeah, it mentions it like there hasn't been this much destruction since the creation
mm-hmm.
of the earth,
mm-hmm.
you know, this much power.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be real bad
when
it gets done.
And almost everything is described that way. Such has never been. There's going to be an earthquake. Such has never been.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be, you know, famine and pestilence and plague. Such has never been.
World-changing mm-hmm. events.
I think we got just a little glimpse of it in COVID in 2020.
Yeesh.
Just a little glimpse of stuff. You know, and that was like eye opening, wasn't it? I mean,
the way the unvaccinated retreated.
Oh, everything. Our rights are taken away, or just, you know what, all of a sudden everyone's marching in line like cattle 6 feet apart, and boom, 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 and, you know, and mask, and you can't go here, and it was just so crazy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then the panic over toilet paper. It's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that was the coolest thing.
Everyone's hoarding toilet paper.
We went to the Grand Canyon. And we were there for the weekend, and everybody was there. And then we come back to California, and the whole world ended.
Yeah.
It was the craziest. It was like the particle collider went off or something,
yeah, right.
you know? And, like, we ended up in a different dimension. It was crazy.
And you remember hearing about it. Oh, there's a virus over there. Oh, it's, you know, and then they're starting to shut down overseas. And then next thing you know, oh, it's in Alaska. Oh, it's in Oregon. It's like, whoa.
I was working at a Japanese restaurant, an Asian cuisine restaurant, and we were slowing down by like November the year before.
Yeah.
Because people were like, oh, don't go over there. You're going to get sick or whatever. You know? And
when you first started hearing about it, it was October, November.
Yeah. And I firmly believe he caught it back then.
I think I got it before too.
My brother, my whole household was hit in such a way. It was just nasty, like a nasty, nasty, nasty cold. But at work, they were like talked about it. It was like probably a week after the first time I heard about it, still being in like China or whatever. And they were like, so look, this is just the truth. What's going on around the world right now comes from Asian countries. We're an Asian restaurant. Probably not going to get business. So, you know, just be prepared for that. And yeah, we slowed down completely all the way till the end of the year. And then, yeah, just like that, the world ended in March.
Yeah.
2 week vacation.
Mm-hmm.
He was barely in his kindergarten year and never went back.
He got sick and we missed the performance.
He got sick before
then, right?
It was winter break. That's why I got it during winter era because like it went through our whole job site.
Yeah. Oh damn!
And like when you're a construction worker, you bear the brunt of the cold.
Yeah.
You still go to work
oh, yeah.
and you still put everything in it. And there were like It happened to my journeyman first, because I was still an apprentice back then. And we were kind of making fun of him, because he would be like, ah, dude, I just gotta sit down, like, I can't do this, you know? And then, like, a week later, I'm like, I'm ready to, like, cuddle up. I just gotta lay this one out. Just give me, like, 30 minutes.
Yeah, right?
You know?
And he's making fun of you because of it.
Exactly. This is my turn.
Yeah, I went through a week of that, too, and yeah. I didn't think nothing of it until later. I was like, wow. Because, I mean, I could hardly get up. It's like, oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was working on a food truck, I think, at the end of 2021. And I was like, the weakness is what I realized was, like, the hardest part of it was
the
weakness.
Yeah, the ache was the craziest part of it.
The way that I related it to was, like, I couldn't get out of what felt like a hangover for, like, a week. I was just so dazed, so, like, fatigue.
So lightheadedness, all of it.
Everybody in the truck that was working with, they were like, you don't have COVID, you're fine, and this and that. And I was like, I really can't taste anything. And they handed me an onion, and I was like, I'd bit out of an onion, and they were like, oh my god, he can't taste anything.
They're like, okay, you go home.
It was already like, it was, no, I lost my taste. Like, I probably up to like 80% of my smell back for the most part. Yeah. Yeah, it sucked for the longest time. Like, I was like losing my mind. It's like, I'm not getting hungry because I can't smell anything. My body's not telling me to eat because something smells good or whatever. So yeah, it was bad.
That's the best fast ever.
My husband got COVID and he got COVID and he drinks cold coffee from the, you know, the Prairie's cold coffee, and he lost his taste buds for the coffee. Like, he didn't drink. He's literally addicted to that coffee. Like, that's all he drinks all day, and he couldn't drink it for like 4 months. he couldn't stand the taste of it. Nothing.
Wow.
Like, it was bad.
My mom said that she had a coworker who literally joined a support group.
Oh, wow.
Because he never got a taste back. Like, this support group was, like, borderline, like, suicidal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was, like, really gnarly for them.
I couldn't taste or smell for the longest time, and I lived off of chicken broth.
Wow.
Hot chicken broth with hot chili sauce in it, because I could not taste anything. So I used to heat tablespoons of the chicken broth in there, and so I'm drinking it, right? And so, like, a month and a half, Chantal had bought me boots for my birthday, and they didn't fit me. And I told her, Chantal, all I'm doing is drinking chicken broth, but I've gained so much weight. And she's like, what? I said, the boots that used to fit me don't. So when she saw me, she goes, well, you've been gaining weight. You're swollen. I have retained
so much salt
from the, because I couldn't taste anything. I just sat there just drinking chicken broth, chicken broth, hot chili. I couldn't taste anything.
And then the salt, from the chicken broth helped you swell.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
made you retain so much water.
So I took some water pills. I was in the restroom for like 2 days.
Oh, wow.
And all that weight went away.
That's so...
We were back. My taste buds for like 8 months.
Oh, wow.
And I don't think I've got them back fully. I can't smell.
Yeah, it's still.
Yeah, me too.
It's not.
I made my peace with it, though. Like, it's 5 months in. I was like,
it is what it is.
I don't feel like a lone wolf anymore, because before COVID, like, I've never been able to really smell. Like, I don't know if it's just like a blocked nostril or not.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, once a blue moon, I'm like, oh, I can smell something. You know? Like,
yeah, I get that.
And then, like, COVID happened. And they're like, oh, and then I'll say something like, oh, I don't have a nose. And they're like, oh, you still messed up from COVID? I was like, no, I've never had a nose.
Yeah.
Like, I've never had a nose.
I had it before COVID. Okay, thanks.
I remember.
I was the original.
I remember once, the taste was gone. But when I ate a Snickers, I could taste that. Because it was, I knew
it was memory taste.
It was memory taste. And it was trippy. I was like, I'm just enjoying this because it's the only thing I can taste.
I tested the waters by eating McDonald's.
Oh.
Yeah, because we actually, I think we got like Rosa Maria's and I had a bean and cheese burrito and I bit into it and I was like, did I not taste that? Or am I psyching myself out, you know?
Yeah.
So I just went through the day and then for dinner I was like, you know what? I have to get McDonald's. Like, I have to go because that's the only thing that I could think of that was going to like give me some sort of taste. So I think I just went for the fries and I just took a big handful of fries and I was like, I think I got COVID. I can't taste anything, dude.
See, what ended up getting me was we were actually on the way back from Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We went to the funeral and got it at the funeral.
Oh, Dad got it first. And at first, we didn't even know it was COVID. Dad just, was out of it. He just did not have the energy and stuff.
Tonight.
And
And then you got it.
On the way back, literally driving on the way back, I ended up starting to feel it. Like the fatigue, the lightheadedness.
Oh, man.
And it came to my turn to drive, and I'm like, I am not good to drive. Because my head is literally
almost home, then I get it.
Dang.
That was the worst when we hit that ice storm in Texas. It was just nasty.
Where you're just,
is that the one where everybody's like pipes were bursting and stuff like that?
Oh,
you guys were out there during that?
Yeah, we were stuck.
We were stuck in the middle.
We followed a semi because you couldn't even see the freeway.
And like three of us are not feeling good at this point. Yeah. And we're just like, okay, we just need to get through this. Dad drove and a couple other people drove, and that was it.
It sucked because I like the cars.
We ended up staying at Matt's house.
On the car, the doors were frozen. The wipers were frozen.
Yeah, because we stopped like a week before.
It was crazy.
That's insane.
I think we stopped to get food twice on the way home that time when we got the COVID. And I'm sitting there. I want a big old Coke.
Oh,
I love the taste of Coke. Totally of today, but I never got it. Mad.
You got it, but didn't lose your taste. No,
so I didn't lose my taste for smell either. I only had body aches, fatigue, and just complete lightheaded. I couldn't even walk
I ended up with three times. Two times I tested positive.
I never tested positive.
Yeah, one time I just got a text. One time that time coming back from the general.
Me too. Like I could have said it when I first had.
All right, let's
reel it in.
For a week, I was just in my bed.
Back to
take it from the ocean back up here.
The weird thing is, I was able to smell fine, but I couldn't taste.
All right, so 14 minutes. Get your prayers in. Get your prayers
in. Verse 24.
We're sorry for that huge tangent that that left her.
Yeah, we'll stay away from COVID.
So that
yeah,
was,
right?
That was the only thing to remind you that we got a taste of it, but it's going to be way worse than that.
Yep.
Way worse.
Well, even just speaking on like the persecution part and how bad it's supposed to get, just like not to stay on the topic of COVID, but remember how many people like close to us like flipped out, freaked out, and like followed everything that was being said and like disowned you and stuff. Like I had family members fighting each other over it and whatnot, you know. So, and that's just COVID, you know. This is, we're talking about the persecution of your faith here.
Well, and a lot of people died. Mm-hmm. You know, too.
Yeah, it had like a less kill rate than the flu, and the flu had a vaccine.
Yeah.
You know?
So, but yeah. So, anyways.
Back off of that, you know?
Sorry about that.
All right, so verse 24 says, but in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken.
That just sounds wicked.
It does.
Just picture the whole year, the whole world is in blackness. There's nothing. You know, you ever been out in a pitch black night?
Oh yeah, me.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. When we first moved to our house up there, we had a pitch black, a moonless night, and man, it was like, where's the gate? You know, it's like I'm out here by myself, and I got no light.
Wow. It was the first time we actually experienced that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
What it reminds me a lot is if you read in Exodus, one of the plagues is the darkness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the way it's described is like it's like a dark. Mm-hmm. It's not like what you can think of like if you're out in the Midwest and it's like a new moon and you can barely see it. No, it was like a darkness like you can feel.
Yeah.
Like that's how dark it is. And that's what this reminds me of is.
I picture it like impenetrable darkness too.
Yeah, it's
something
like, it's
even
like
if you had a flashlight, I don't think it would pierce it.
When I worked at when I was working at Morongo, because casinos don't have any windows or anything like that. So you take like 3-4 turns into that building and you don't have any other external light, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm standing at the elevators and the power cut out. And I was like, okay, the first thing I do is grab my phone to turn my light on. And I could not see past my phone. Like the light just hit the darkness and stopped. And I was like, and there's people around me too. And all I could see was like lights down the hallway. And then they all just like kind of like faded because they turned the other way or they just turned their lights off and stuff. And I'm standing with somebody and they're right next to me. And I could not see them. Like, it was so dark. That's when I realized, like, oh, it could get super dark. Like,
yeah, it does.
The lights off dark is not comparison to, like, the darkness.
Yeah, like since we live in an electrical society, you know, like we have like that benefit of always having light. Mm-hmm. We have no idea how dark it really can get.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, I work in a warehouse, so I understand where he's coming from. It's mm-hmm. completely like pitch.
Oh, yeah.
You can't see nothing. Like the whole company will tell you stay in one spot, don't move.
Oh well.
Yeah.
You know, don't move because you don't know if there's liability of getting hurt, and they don't want that liability when the lights go out. So like, don't move. Stay right where you're at. You know, just stop.
I like how one guy says it, and he attributes it.
No.
Unfortunately, he attributes it. Gave the idea of from video games how sometimes he says it's like a thick fog if you could ever think of that is especially if you've ever played a video game where your character's trying to look through the black or whatever and it usually has like a light or whatever and for some reason the light in the game just not getting past your face on screen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just.
I'm afraid you're dark.
I don't blame you.
We're children of the light, and like in John, the beginning of John, it says that people love the darkness and fled from the light. You know. But I like the analogy of. Darkness isn't a thing, it's an absence of light. You know, light can be measured and tested, but you can't measure darkness.
Mm-hmm.
It's an absence of light. Same as there's no cold, it's just an absence of heat, of a heat source, you know. And so, in that, our lives are cold and dark without Christ. Cold and dark without
Christ. Could you apply that to like good and evil, right?
Oh yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Because
yeah. mm-hmm. that's what in John, regular John, chapter 1 talks about. Yeah, and I think in 1 John 1 also.
It's like one of the biggest questions that I get
light
when
and darkness.
When I'm talking to people online and stuff like that about it, or like debating with somebody, and
mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, then why did God create evil? And I'm like, well. That's not necessarily a loaded question. I just don't think you're asking the right question about evil, you know?
Why do people want to hide things,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because the light reveals it, and so people run from the light,
mm-hmm.
you know?
It all gets brought forth anyways.
It's all coming out. It's all seen. You can't hide nothing from God.
Yeah,
nothing.
It's all going to get shown to you anyways. Yeah.
Might as well face
yeah, might as well own up to it.
So sorry.
Oh.
So sorry, I thought it's my mom.
Start over. Yeah. Is it that time?
The sound didn't get me. Her jumping at the sound got me.
That didn't sound like a trumpet.
Yeah. Right.
That sounded like chimes.
Is that what the trumpet's supposed to sound like?
Actually, the sound of it, I can't remember the exact name of it, but
the
it's like
shofar.
A shofar. It's like a goat's horn or something. It's a horn.
Oh, like what the Vikings used?
Yeah, it's something similar.
Similar to that?
Similar.
And it's supposed to sound like that, but on a way bigger scale.
Global.
There was a video I heard, like, people were talking about a horn being heard, a trumpet being heard in Jerusalem, and they played a video of it. But, I mean, it's like... Yeah.
The sky horns have been going on forever.
Yes?
I just have that same thing that we're talking about nothing. Have you guys... You know what's on the back of a donkey, and the donkey is the only one animal in the world that has it?
A cross.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
a Jerusalem donkey.
And what did Jesus... I try to point that out to people, and it creeps them out. But it's like, well,
I
just want to let you guys know that. Look at... The
That's
backside cool. of a donkey,
it's
you know, cool.
I like,
the world that has it.
I like the depth of that too, because the donkey carried the king.
Jesus, yeah, thank you.
And so he's been embracing with a cross
throughout.
It's cool.
Yeah, crazy. A cross carries Jesus, and then Jesus carries a cross for everyone else.
And we're called to carry a cross afterwards.
Well, I'm gonna give me a donkey to do it.
And have him carry you.
Or another tangent is like
Like, look at Christ created, God created through Christ. Christ created, it says, all things were made by him, and by him was not anything made but that had been made. So imagine, he created the mountain he was going to be crucified on.
Yeah.
He created the trees. He created all those things. Yeah.
Huh?
I love it.
And knowing that, you know, knowing that that was going to happen, still went through with it. And God knowing what's going to happen to this whole world, seeing it, he still went through with it. Why? Because he loves us. Because there are those he wants to spend eternity, and to him it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's try and get to these couple of verses.
You need something
else
to think about.
But, we got this.
A minute of verse.
At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. You'll get from that.
That's the gathering of the very end.
The new end of the tribulation.
Coming.
Yeah.
What do you think, Mike? I haven't heard from you at all.
I did. I talked earlier, remember? I understand.
Just know there's two comings of Christ, distinct ones in the Bible it talks about. There's one, he's coming in the clouds with a voice, a trumpet, and people are going to be called up to rise to meet him. The second one is he comes and his feet touch back on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives splits in two.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two distinct comings of Christ mentioned in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 3.5, or they're 7 years apart. Roughly, because I believe at the rapture that it starts a timer.
I was just telling Jacob what I saw at verse 26 alone was the transfiguration of Jesus.
Because
that's what Jesus was showing his disciples, was the glory that he's going to be in.
Who
when
he
he's
really
in heaven.
Is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who he truly is. And the glory and power of the Lord being shown on him at the time. And that was just a tiny little piece of what was to come.
All right, verse 28. Anyone else got anything else before we move on? All right, it says, now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. So, like, you know, if we're paying attention,
mm-hmm.
we can see. Yeah, is what he's saying. So,
just like they'll know who he is.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It'll be something that that we don't want to get stuck in, but it's something that we know is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's really how I see that. So, I agree.
To pay attention to the times, but
mm-hmm.
not to get stuck in the times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just to keep you on your guard.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Basically, watch.
Exactly. That's why it says at the end, watch.
Anything else? Are we all in agreement on that one?
Mm-hmm.
It says, truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys get from that?
Everything that he's telling us, everything.
Never
that...
stop preaching the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I gotta ask you now, what's the generation he's talking about? Well,
it's a 20-year period is a generation.
Right. Well, I think it's something, I don't know if it was here that Pastor Matt had said it or something that we were talking about, but he was saying that that generation has been the same generation since Christ has come.
Yep, I
right?
agree
that's,
with that.
That's
mm-hmm.
why I asked it, was to get people thinking there, because
mm-hmm.
It's usually when people get stuck on stuff, it's small words. So you would see one word and they'd be like, oh,
well, generation.
Yeah.
It's only
20 years.
70 years.
Or seven.
Yeah, it's just like saying, saying you know, half a century, you know? Or...
Yeah. And so the thing is to keep your eyes on what it's talking about. Because there's so far what I've seen in the Bible. Was there's been three generations. There was the first one of Adam and Eve up to Noah. Then there was Noah to Christ's coming. And then Christ coming to the end of the age.
Till now, yeah.
This is the generation of grace.
Mm-hmm.
And know that before Christ, God did pour his wrath out on the world. You know, things happened. I mean, he did it with Noah, and he obliterated races. You know, a lot of those races talked about that they fought the Philistines. You know, a lot of them don't even exist anymore. You know, I couldn't technically go through it for you, but know that and you know, like the Ninevites. You know, they were warned. God spared it, but then they fell back into it, and then they got obliterated. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah. It just
And I see that, like, Sodom and Gomorrah is just a small little piece of, a glimpse of what the end times actually is.
Oh, yeah.
Pure sulfur that's lit on fire, raining from heaven.
Sounds fun.
Destroying.
Yeah, that generation thing, it's also, the things that help me back it up is that Christ also mentions the end of the age.
Yeah.
Right, or the end of time, or this last... Yeah. This last generation, it's all mentioned the same way. And that's how I usually back that up. Is because he's never specifically is talking about like the people in front of him. Like you say, like this adulterous generation. Well, you know, it's like it's just mentioning of like what is to come and stuff like that. I see it more as. Like a period in time, and this is the last period. I think in that time, you know, the next one's a new heaven, new earth, you know, kind of thing.
Leah's got her blinders on for this one. It's gonna
it's
be
bomb. It's a bomb.
Nuclear proportions.
Or two after.
We can stop right now.
I was just teasing Jordan. That was an insider.
Because I told her
about the. You wear sunglasses at night.
We can stop right now.
Okay. How many prayers?
I got Orlando's already.
I see none up here.
Pray for Jackie?
Well, no, he told me to. He gave me this last Tuesday. He said to pray exactly how it says, so. Forgive me. If there's anything you guys don't agree with.
And they're not, they weren't able to come, so.
Yeah, they, can't remember what they said about it, why, but they have.
Yeah, they just can't make it.
Yeah.
Out of commission.
That was what it was. OOC.
Not like OOO. WFH.
No. We don't do that one. No work for home when you're in Christ. Right? No WFH when you're in Christ.
Man, I wonder what the state of the world would be in when he's too concerned about persecuting Christians.
Right.
You know, I think it'll be an easier time when it's truly closer to the end. Because you'll just make a choice, and if you're spending time with the Lord, you know his voice. So you're gonna see a clear option. It's not like you're gonna be fooled into it. You're just gonna know.
The hard thing for people is the people that are gonna be newer believers.
Yeah,
the people that want to come.
So
to
that's
Christ.
What I was gonna say about the like if we wanted to talk like spiritually about like woe to those who are pregnant or nursing or whatever. I kind of relate that to people who are coming to Christ. Or people who you're walking with or working with and whatnot.
They're still on milk.
That's what I was gonna get at, but I was like, I don't know. But then it started to make more sense the further along. I was like, man, It's like when you miss that joke in the group chat. Like,
oh, yeah, you just hold it. Maybe next time.
Yeah. Cool. We didn't go all the way through. We'll go back. We'll read it over again.
Yeah. But no, it's. I do agree with that because.
Yeah.
For a new believer.
Yeah.
It's in those going times, to be a test. It's like you either 100% believe in this and are willing to risk everything, or you're 50-50 and you just decide, nope, not going to do it.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I've explained it to my cousin like that because he was asking me, like, so how does somebody who is interested in faith deserve to lose family members, you know? I was like, be more specific. And he was like, oh, just a random guy comes home and his wife and child are dead. Like, but he was like wanting to get to know Jesus. And I was like, well, that right there alone is like, you just explained it right there. You know, if he was trying to make a move to save his own life and his soul, like the enemy came in and did something. And now somebody who's already 50-50 is going to be like, wow, look how God treats people. You know, like, oh, this is who I want to give my life to, you know, rather than saying like, God's going to get me through this whole mess and stuff, you know, like
God didn't do it.
Yeah.
This fallen world did it.
Yeah. You know, and I had to explain it to him like that. Like, you can't think that God does bad things to you.
Right.
Like, that's not how it works. You know,
right. God, this is a fallen
this is
world.
The world.
God gave this world free will.
Amen.
And just as we have the freedom to come to Christ, people have the freedom to do bad things, you know, and there's a price to pay for it. There's consequences. There's even consequences for not accepting him when he first calls you, because you could be further along, and it may come that day or hour, you know, and you're a baby Christian, and you're going to have a harder struggle.
I also think that, like, when there's more of a choice and more things are on the line for being a Christian, it's clearer seen.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when you look at the book of Acts, right, what they went through, they, like, you read that book and you go, God was right there with them, and you can see it, you know? I think when we're more involved in making the sacrifices that we're supposed to make as, like, a community, you see God's work multiply.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, right in front of you. So, like, for the new believers, they're going to see it as, like, how we see, like, when the internet was invented. Mm-hmm. People didn't want to work as hard with their hands anymore. They'd rather, oh, I'm going to go sit and work in a cubicle on my computer, you know, and it's a choice that you make. You're like, oh, I could go work in the field and work real hard, or I can, oh, you know, make it, take it easy, and get paid just as much, and go work up on a computer. You know, it's kind of the same way I see that is, it'll look like, but when you make that choice, when you work with your hands, it's rewarding. You know, you finish a project and you're like, wow, that came out, that was tedious, but it came out, you know? And then there's like a less fulfilling when, I'm sure if you're doing code on a computer, it's probably really fulfilling when you get through the code. It's real hard work. But
yes.
When it's like working off an Excel sheet all day
so
long,
much.
You're
yeah,
like,
right.
It's really like, you're like, all right, I punched a bunch of numbers in. You know? But it's kind of the same thing. It's like, so when that time comes where being a Christian is more of a sacrifice, you'll see it. And if your heart's in the right spot, you'll want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. And if your heart's in the wrong spot, you'll go, that lifestyle doesn't look that fun to me. I'm going to go do this lifestyle because that looks like fun, you know? But when you make that choice, you see, like, oh, this lifestyle is more of the rewarding lifestyle.
Reminded, like, when you first come to Christ, you see more miraculous things in your life because your eyes are open to God's working in your life. And you see that. Matt talks about it a lot, you know. He doesn't, the wow things aren't there because you grow so accustomed to them. They're still happening, but they're just not wow, fresh, new, you know, and new experience, new, but they're still there. Mm-hmm. And they're still bring life. But I mean, you know, and so in that, a new believer, I think, is going to see those wow things, you know.
Yeah.
Just like this, you know, like,
so it'll be
like happens
a...
now. You know, and that's the thing, you know, God has not appointed his own to suffer wrath. And I new or veteran, I believe that, you know, God's hand is going to be there, and he's going to carry you if you trust him and seek him. You know, you can always rely on God.
Yeah, that's how you can see, like, when it says, like, the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. will guide you. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how you know we're still here.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
when the Lord's coming back, he's taking the Spirit, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's something we have to suffer.
Yeah.
Darn. But it won't be suffering. It'll be rejoicing.
Yeah.
Because we're supposed to rejoice in our suffering. So it'll be cool, you know what I mean?
There was a point in Paul the Apostle of Christ in the movie where all these Christians were gathered in the Roman prison, and they're in the Colosseum, and they're getting ready to be thrown out to the lions, right? They all know they're going to die, and they're, like, trembling with fear. And I think Luke, the person who played Luke, stood up and told them, look, it's only going to be a flash. It's going to be over real quick, and then we'll be there. You know, and you got to look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life, bad thing is going to happen. Stuff's going to happen. But it's only going to be a blink, a twinkling. You know, and when we close our eyes here, we're with him there.
Yeah, 100%. Amen.
When the surgery?
You got a Bubba, sure. too?
Yeah. I got Bubbies.
Ours is John, and they call him Bubba.
I got two Bubbies.
I think Bubba is, like, the funniest person I know alive.
I think
things he does, like, he's like, he's never thought, he's just done.
He had surgery, it went well. That was just an easy recovery.
I have one for all the people that are in nursing homes and hospitals that are by themselves and don't feel loved and they're alone. You know, let them know that God's with them and God's there for them and they're not alone. And the homeless as well. They all need prayer as well.
Yeah.
And then, of course, our world needs prayer. Our world needs a lot of it.
Well, it looks like we're going around the table. So, Jerry,
no.
You got any? You're all good? Leah?
No, I'm just going to get going.
Okay. Cyrus? No? Catherine? Steven?
None that I can think of at the moment, sorry.
No?
Okay. Nate?
Keep it going?
The next testing.
Oh, your testing and stuff like that?
MJ? You're up, Laura.
No.
Nothing, Mikey.
Just pretty bad, please.
Okay. Perfect.
Oh, home. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
Gmail
home. Yes, so
Gmail
can come back next year.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Pens away. Let's pray. Oh, wait. God. Please. Oh. God. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for this study, for everything you're blessing us with on a daily, Lord. And we just ask that you continue to bless us, lead us, and guide us in your spirit, Lord, and that this Bible study and every Bible study that we have here or at a church that we go to, Lord, that would just be filled with your spirit, Lord, that you would be in the midst of this room, Lord. Help each person here just to be filled with your spirit, Lord, and to take away the things of your word just into our lives, Lord. Write them on our hearts, Lord. And whatever you've spoken to us, help us not leave this place and forget it, Lord. We ask that you would just keep everyone safe on their way home, Lord, if even those online, if they're driving or at work or something and listening, we just ask that you would keep them safe as well, Lord. Help each person that is here in spirit and here physically to just be filled with you, Lord. We ask your hand over Memo and Francis, Lord. We ask for healing for Memo and peace over the family, Lord. Just heal his body, Lord. Take away this sickness, remove it from him, and give him strength back to his bones and just help him to be filled with your spirit, Lord, at all times.
and just fill the family with your spirit and peace, Lord, your comfort and understanding. We ask your hand over Matt and his household. Just give them leadership and understanding, Lord. Help them to go out and just be filled with your spirit at all times, Lord. Help them to do right by your word, Lord. We ask your hand over my dad and our family, Lord, and just help the same thing, to have your spirit over us at all times, Lord. Help us to teach your word as it says it, Lord. Not to take away our own human desires or our own thoughts about it, but to speak your word in its entirety, Lord. We ask your hand over Mary Jane and her headaches, Lord. Help her to just be healed, Lord, that you would just take them away and just fill her with nothing but joy and peace, Lord. Help those headaches to not be there, Lord. We ask your hand over Jacob, Valley, and Tony and the baby, Lord. We ask that you would continue having your hand over that family. Help Jacob and Ali to just be parents just after your spirit, Lord, that what they would teach their children would be everything that you call them to teach, Lord. Help them to have your wisdom and understanding about every situation, Lord. And Lord, help Tony to enjoy the time she has here, Lord, and that Sloan would grow up and be healthy and strong and just be filled with your spirit, Lord. We ask your hand over Nick for just his tests and patience and just all of it, Lord. We ask your hand over him entirely, Lord, that he would be filled with joy at all times and just be with them, Lord. Help him to have your hand over his test dates and his jobs, the interviews, all of it, Lord. Help him to get a job where he's treated fairly, Lord. And we ask your hand over Leah and her health, Lord. Continue being with her and strengthening her, Lord. Help her to be here every time she wants to be here, Lord. We ask your hand over Roger and everything going on in his life. Help him to have your provision over his needs, Lord, and give him strength each day, Lord, to just do the things he wants to do, Lord, and be filled with your spirit every moment. We ask your hand over Jackie and for peace of mind, calmness, and health, Lord, that you would just have your hand over her, just guide her and lead her and protect her, help her to always be at peace, Lord, and just help her to have a good body full of health and joy, Lord. And same with Orlando as well, Lord. Help them to be filled with your spirit, Lord, that they would both be just healthy and strong, Lord, that they would be able to do the things they want to do, Lord. Lord, we ask your hand over my brother's hearing and his surgery, Lord, that you would just have your favor upon him, Lord, and just bring him through this surgery just cleanly, Lord, that he would recover quickly and be strengthened by your spirit, Lord. We ask your hand over Bubba and everything he's going through. We ask for a quick recovery, Lord, and that would just be easy and simple, Lord, that he would come back and be as strong as he was or stronger, Lord, from everything that happened. And help him to have the wisdom and understanding not to, or to drive safer, whatever the case may be. Just have your protection over him, Lord. We ask your hand over all the nursing homes, the people alone, and the homeless, Lord. Just help all of them to know that they're not alone, Lord. That you're there wanting to be with them if they don't know you, and that you just want to help them through these times, Lord. And the people that do know you and they're still out there alone or in nursing homes or something, we just ask that they would feel your spirit and presence with them, Lord. Help everyone to just have your spirit upon them and be filled with peace and joy, Lord. And we ask your hand over this world, Lord, the nastiness of it that it's coming to be, Lord. We ask that you would just come soon, as it calls us to ask for, Lord, that you would just come soon and that you would protect your people, Lord. I would say fix this world, but it has to get worse before it can get better. We do just ask that you would have your hand over us and help us to get through it, Lord. We ask that you would bring the right people into leadership and take out the ones that aren't meant to be there, Lord. We ask your hand over Laura and her health, We ask that you would just keep her healthy and strong, Lord. Help her to constantly be here, because I know when she is here, she loves to be here, Lord. We ask your hand over Yvette, Lord, that you would just heal her body, remove this sickness, Lord. Give her strength again, and just to have your peace and joy and patience and all of it, Lord. All the understanding that your spirit would just be upon her at all time, Lord. That this sickness would just leave her body and she would get strength again, Lord. And Lord, we also ask for safe travels for Jacob's mom, Lord. And just to keep her safe on the way back, Lord. Help her to have a good flight and to get back safely and securely. And just to enjoy the time she has here left with her family, Lord, and her friends. Help her to enjoy it, Lord. And Lord, have your hand over Stephen and his family with continued growth, and just be with them, Lord. Have your strength over them, Lord. And Lord, be with Justin and Felicia as well, Lord. For growth for them as well. Continue growing them, Lord. Continue growing your church, Lord. Both with people and leadership, Lord. Leadership is more important, so that we teach the things that are meant to be taught. Just to bless this day and help us all just to be filled with your spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. Amen.